Of course, the spirit of the mystical body will react against the control exercised over human life by those who manipulate finance. But even if the right order of money for production and production for man were restored, life in the country will always remain ideal for men. Our Lord, by coming amongst us as an artisan in a country village, wished to give us the example of a normal human life. The modern man in the street, with his intelligence atrophied by the press and the cinema, with his senses jaded by jarring sights and sounds, is certainly not normal. In the organization of life, the spirit of the mystical body will seek to make itself felt by a reaction against the class war, which, as we have seen, is for the enemies of our Lord's divinity only a transition stage on the way to the subjection of the bulk of the nation, as in Russia, to the new aristocracy of the Communist Party. Instead of war and opposition, a spirit of cooperation and mutual respect based on charity and justice must be sedulously cultivated. Organizations of farmers and laborers, for example, must be helped to apply the spirit of the Lord they receive frequently in Holy Communion to their common problems. The mystical body of Christ demands an attitude of solidarity from its members as brothers in Christ with common interests and a common destiny. The Catholic family is the foundation and hope of society. Now, minds influenced by the press and the cinema gradually come to regard divorce and license of every kind as normal and progressive. As a reaction against the divinization of man underlying the Declaration of Rights of 1789, thanks to which what is called manhood suffrage has been propagated everywhere, is it not time to increase the voting power of heads of families? The head of a family should have at least twice the voting power of an irresponsible youth. Again, as communism concentrates its debasing influence on those irresponsible youths, male and female, should not their right to take part in vital decisions be delayed until they are at least 30 years of age and have a grasp of order and some sense of responsibility? Of course, the inculcation of that grasp of order and sense of responsibility will demand the foundation of study circles in which young men and women will prepare themselves for Catholic action in all spheres of life. Young people, we read in the letter of Pope Pius XI to Cardinal Bertram, quote, should apply themselves especially to the work of formation and preparation, whilst grown-up men shall devote themselves to the apostolate on a wider scale, without neglecting or excluding any form of beneficent activity, provided it comes within the scope of the divine mission of the Church. To this lay apostolate, Pope Pius XI looks for the forces required to cooperate with the hierarchy in bringing back the world from paganism. Writes the Sovereign Pontiff in the encyclical letter Quadragesimo Anno, quote, present circumstances, therefore, venerable brethren and beloved children, indicate clearly the course to be followed. Nowadays, as more than once in the history of the Church, we are confronted with a world which in large measure has almost fallen back into paganism. In order to bring back to Christ these whole classes of men who have denied him, we must gather and train from amongst their very ranks auxiliary soldiers of the Church, men who know their mentality and their aspirations, and who, with kindly fraternal charity, will be able to win their hearts. Undoubtedly, the first and immediate apostles of the working men must themselves be working men, while the apostles of the industrial and commercial world should themselves be employers and merchants. It is your chief duty, venerable brethren, and that of your clergy, to seek diligently to select prudently and train fittingly these lay apostles amongst working men and amongst employers. No easy task is here imposed upon the clergy, wherefore all candidates for the sacred priesthood must be adequately prepared to meet it by intense study of social matters. It is particularly necessary, however, that they whom you specially select and devote to this work should show themselves endowed with a keen sense of justice, ready to oppose with real manly constancy unjust claims and unjust actions, that they avoid every extreme with consummate prudence and discretion. Above all, that they be thoroughly imbued with the charity of Christ, which alone has the power to incline men's hearts and wills firmly and gently to the laws of equity and justice. This course, already productive of success in the past, we must follow now with alacrity. Further, we earnestly exhort in the Lord the beloved sons who are chosen for this task to devote themselves wholeheartedly to the formation of the men entrusted to them. In the execution of this most priestly and apostolic work, let them make opportune use of the powerful resources of Christian training by instructing youth, by founding Christian associations, by forming study circles on Christian lines. Above all, let them hold in high esteem and employ with diligence for the benefit of their disciples the spiritual exercises, a most precious means of personal and of social reform. These exercises we declared in express terms to be most useful for the laity in general, and especially for working men, and we warmly recommend them. For in that school of the Spirit, not only are excellent Christians formed, but real apostles of every state of life are trained and enkindled with the fire of the heart of Christ.